incredible weekend, may we be reminded of what 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4 says, that as a matter of first importance, top importance, is that Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and was resurrected from the tomb alive. Praise the Lord. Jesus is alive. In his name I ask this, amen. Sure where my pictures went. boy. This has been a day to make your pastor get some gray hairs. I've already had some. Just last week, I took a stroll through the Ocean View Cemetery in Eureka. How many of you have been there? This is a special place for me. And I'll tell you why. Because there are two special people that are buried there that I did the graveside service for. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Ronnie Machado and Shirley Green. So that's a special place for you. That is a special place. That day when I was there, it was gray and cold and dark and rainy. Other than a workman that was there working as part of the cemetery crew, and a man walking two of his dogs, the place was completely quiet and still and empty. There was another graveyard that I want to tell you about today. In some ways, it was a lot like the Ocean View Cemetery. Not as large, perhaps, but nevertheless a quiet and peaceful resting place for some special people. In that graveyard, that very graveyard, late on a Friday afternoon in ancient Jerusalem. You see, this collection of gravesites was dug right out of the solid rock. It was a garden cemetery, Terry, just located outside of Jerusalem. The final resting place of some special people. In that very graveyard, late on a Friday afternoon, an individual burial took place. A man would be buried there in a borrowed tomb that wasn't his. It belonged to a rich and prominent man named Joseph from the city of Arimathea. Let me tell you the story about this very unusual burial. A 33-year-old man named Jesus of Nazareth, who was considered as a blasphemer by his Jewish leader people, and as a political liability by the Roman government, was sentenced to die on a Roman cross. Crucifixion was simply a horrendously hideous way to die. Huge nails were pounded by heavy hammers through the wrists and hands of the accused victim, nailing the person to a wooden cross. That cross would then be violently dropped in a hole in the ground for all to see, displayed, humiliated. The person crucified would soon die. However, not immediately. Sometimes strong men would hang on their crosses for days before they would finally expire. Jesus of Nazareth, however, died after just 6 hours hanging on the cross. When they took his body down from the cross, it was in dreadful shape, bearing all the marks of the awful abuse that he had had cruelly suffered. He was covered with blood. There was a big hole in his side where a spear had pierced him. His face was horribly disfigured. The skin hung on his back in tatters. Crucifixion, ladies and gentlemen, was nothing short of horrendously hideous. Joseph of Arimathea went to Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor of Judea, and politely asked if he might be given the body of Jesus. Pilate was very surprised at this request. He could hardly believe his ears that Jesus was already dead. Pilate, somewhat mystified why anyone would want the tattered, dead body of a common insurrectionist, reluctantly gave permission for Joseph to have the corpse of Jesus. When Pilate released the body of Jesus, Joseph and another wealthy and prominent Jewish man named Nicodemus performed the customary Jewish embalming practices, which involved wrapping the corpse in strips of linen cloth and putting spices under the linen wraps. The Bible says that they placed 75 pounds of spices, specifically myrrh and aloes, throughout the linen strips to prepare the body of Jesus for burial. A lot happened on that Friday afternoon, since Jesus had died earlier that day, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Now it was getting near the setting of the sun, and that could be a problem because the Old Testament forbade a Jew of touching a dead body once the Sabbath hours commenced. No time to find a new grave, so Joseph quickly volunteered his own tomb. It was a rather newly dug grave, carved out of rock. No body had been laid there yet. Doubtless, Joseph had dug this grave to prepare for someone in his family. Joseph and Nicodemus picked up the limp, lifeless body of Jesus, and with great effort, they carry it to Joseph's garden tomb. Between the weight of the body, the many strips of linen, the weight of those spices, they would have been hefting dead weight of over 250 pounds. The sun was setting on the western horizon. Shadows were forming. Joseph and Nicodemus get Christ's body with much effort inside the burial chamber because the entrance is rather small. Inside Joseph's tomb, it is very dark and there's a musty and damp odor. They gently lay the body of Jesus inside on a rock ledge. And after they exit the tomb, with great effort, Joseph and Nicodemus roll a big flat stone over the entrance. It is tightly closed now. It is dark now. Joseph and Nicodemus leave. Then certain women who had been there also left. Inside the burial chamber is silent, and there is the dank smell of death. It would stay that way for more than 24 hours. The Bible says very little about this period of time that lasted more than a day. We as modern-day Christians, know about Good Friday, and we know about Easter Sunday, but of that in-between time, the Sabbath hours that Jesus was in the tomb, the Bible simply says this, and on the Sabbath day they rested. However, I believe that this is a very significant period of time in the Easter weekend. For just as God rested on the seventh day Sabbath from his work of creation, so the Savior rested on the seventh day Sabbath from his work of redemption. The Sabbath passed, and the next comment in Scripture is simply this. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. To the utter surprise and shock of these women, in the faint light of the early dawn, these women discover that the stone to the entrance of Joseph's tomb has been removed and the entrance is wide open. They cautiously look inside. It's empty. Well, it's empty except for there is a shining angel there. And the angel utters two of the most important sentences in all of Scripture. Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. An ancient legend says that in the early church, when a follower of Christ was about to be martyred for their faith in Jesus Christ, that the following would sometimes take place. As the authorities would lead that accused Christian out from the city to a place where they would be killed for their faith, they would be asked, the Christian would be asked, do you have any last words before you are killed? And he or she, the follower of Jesus Christ, would then shout out, he is risen! Unknown to the authorities, in the surrounding hills were fellow believers gathered to watch the execution. And when they heard the words shouted from the accused, he is risen, they would cry out as if with one singular voice, he is risen indeed. And that is the exact exchange that was customarily given between Christians in the early church. One Christian would see another and would say, he is risen. And the other follower of Jesus Christ would answer, he is risen indeed. And so, I say to you, he is risen. Amen. Amen. Raised from the dead? Can we really believe this, ladies and gentlemen? Many of us have looked around a cemetery, and we have seen grave sites that are marked with even our loved ones. And we see that those people stay in those graves and they stay dead. Some of them for many, many years. And some of us, if we're honest, we've wondered, is there really a resurrection of the dead? If we go on just what our eyes and ears tell us, The resurrection of the righteous is a difficult doctrine to believe. The odds seem stacked against it being reality. Graveyards are full of dead people, and they just continue to lie there dead in the ground. The mortality rate of us humans hovers right at 100%, and there hasn't been a resurrection in over 2,000 years. Maybe we need to admit, however, that we have been looking in the wrong place for the reality of the resurrection. We can't be looking in a graveyard for Jesus. He's not there. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Today we triumphantly, boldly, joyfully proclaim the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead as absolute, ironclad truth. And because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he opened the door for us to someday be resurrected as well. In the words of Jesus Christ himself, from John 11:25, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die." Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, there is good news from the graveyard this morning. Good news that the tomb that Jesus was in is now empty. Good news that the devil couldn't keep him dead and keep him in the grave. Good news that the grave has lost its sting and power over us believers who make Jesus Christ our personal Savior. Good news that our Savior, Jesus Christ, rose from the tomb as a first fruits of a promised resurrection. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we can confidently proclaim that we are not afraid to die. Not because we're so very brave. We're not. We can confidently proclaim that there will be a resurrection because of Jesus, who rose from the dead to guarantee that if we believe in him, we will live again. Amen. Did you hear me? If we believe in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we have the promise of being resurrected someday when Jesus comes and living forever with him. Amen. A graveyard may seem like a very strange place for good news, but that is what Easter is all about. He is risen. He is risen. He is risen. Let us pledge ourselves to the risen one, as we will now triumphantly proclaim in song. Christ the Lord is risen today. Please sing it like you really mean it.
Christ the Lord is risen today, hallelujah. sons of men and angels say, Alleluia. Raise your joys and triumphs high, Alleluia. Sing ye heavens and earth reply, Alleluia. Love's redeeming work is done, Alleluia. Fought the fight, the battle won, Alleluia. Death in vain forbids him rise, Alleluia. Christ hath opened paradise, Alleluia. Soar we then where Christ hath led, Alleluia. Falling our exalted head, Alleluia. Made like him we rise, Alleluia. Ours the cross, the grave, the skies,
resurrected one, bring new hope to our lives. May his victory over earthly death turn our eyes to the promises of heaven. May the empty tomb help us to leave our burdens with the Savior. And may God's hope and strength reign in our lives now and forevermore. Amen.